بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، continue our readings in the book Al-Kabair, The Major Sins by Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى. In our previous class, we were discussing the issues that the author he had mentioned with regards to the major sins that are related to the heart. And we've seen that the author, he has begun with this affair, and the sins, they are different types. From the sins, there are those that occur in the heart, and from them there are those that occur on the tongue, and others with the eyes and the hands, and so on and so forth. But the most dangerous of these sins and the foundation of this affair is the heart. And a believer, he will show great concern for his heart and the rectification of his heart and his soul. And the one who is given success to do this, then his body parts will fall in line and will comply in accordance to that which is found in his heart. All of these affairs have proceeded. So again, the reminder of the importance of the knowledge of the affairs of the heart. Because the heart, it has obligations. Just as the tongue and the eyes and the hands, they have obligations. There are actions of worship and servitude that are obligatory for the heart to perform them. Just like there are actions of worship and servitude for the rest of the body. And also there are prohibitions. Also there are prohibitions and things that are impermissible and forbidden with regards to the actions of the heart. Just as there are prohibitions and the actions that are forbidden with regards to the rest of the body parts. So with regards to this, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about these affairs, the diseases and the major sins of the heart. He said rahimahullah ta'ala, هذه الآفات إنما تنشأ من الجهل بعبودية القلب. That these آفات, these diseases and illnesses that afflict the heart, they only proceed from, any of the cause for them and the source for them is having ignorance with regards to the servitude and the actions of worship of the heart. And this is a beautiful and important benefit. And you know, and to begin this affair and understand these chapters that will proceed, inshallah, based upon this. And with regards to this book, now we're studying those affairs that are impermissible and that are forbidden. Specifically now, with regards to the actions of the heart, where do these actions proceed from? Where do these diseases proceed from? What is the cause for them? Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he is saying the cause for them is that a person, he will be ignorant himself of the obligations of the heart, of the actions of worship and servitude and devotion and submission of the heart that are obligatory. He's heedless of these affairs and ignorant of these affairs, and because of this, now his heart becomes full of its opposite, and his heart will become sick, and his heart will become ill, and his heart will become corrupted and full of these filthy and foul affairs. So he's saying again, هذه الآفات إنما تنشأ من الجهل بعبودية القلب وترك القيام بها. That these illnesses and these major sins that afflict the heart, they only proceed from a person's ignorance of the worships of the heart, or the actions of servitude of the heart, and establishing them. So he says, فَوَظِيفَةُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ قَبْلَ الْجَوَارِحِ قَبْلَ الْجَوَارِحِ. So the function, and the requirement of the application and the function of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship, it must be on the heart before the body parts. When a believer, he reads a fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. And this is the call of all of the messengers and prophets. يعني لا إله إلا الله. We do not worship anyone except for you, O Allah. We worship you alone. Nothing is worthy of worship except for Allah. But this is a function and a requirement that must be upon the heart first and foremost. It must be upon the heart first and foremost, even before the body parts. Even before the body parts. So he said, رحمه الله تعالى, فإذا جهلها وترك القيام بها امتلأ يعني قلبه امتلأ بأضدادها ولا بد. So if a person, he were to be ignorant of these worships of the heart and these actions of servitude and submission and devotion that proceed from the heart, if he were to be ignorant of them and to not establish them and perform them properly, then his heart will be full with the opposites of that. And this is a must. And this is a reality that would occur. Either his heart will be full of these actions of worship that are obligatory for it to perform, or it will be full of the opposite of that. Or it will be full of the opposite of that. He says, وَبِحَسْبِ الْقِيَامِ بِهَا يَتَخَلَّسُ مِنْ أَضْدَادِهَا مِنْ أَضْدَادِهَا. That according to how well the heart establishes these عُبُودِيَات, the عُبُودِيَات الْقَلْبِيَّة, the actions of worship and servitude of the heart, according to how well a person's heart establishes these, will determine how well he is free from their opposites. How well he is free from their opposites. So just as an introduction before reading this chapter that proceeds, and to be aware of these affairs. And I mention a number of them. العبوديات, عبوديات القلب الواجبة. These are actions of servitude and worship upon the heart that are obligatory. We just mentioned them so that we have awareness of them. Each one of them is a dars for the durus, yani in themselves. But just so that a person, he knows them, it's obligatory for his heart to work in this manner. The first one, al-ikhlas. And to purify and to be sincere, to have his intention and his heart sincerely loving Allah Azza wa Jal, al-ikhlas. And after that, likewise, al-tawakkul, sincere trust and reliance. These are obligations of the heart, obligatory actions that the heart must perform. Just as the body part, they have to perform salat. And in the salat, the body, it has to stand and then it has to bow. And a person, he has to put his hands on his knees and he has to put his hands on the ground, so on and so forth. And the body, it's an obligation for these body parts to move in this manner as an act of worship. Likewise, preceding all of that, there are actions of the heart that the heart, it must establish and perform them, that are obligations. That are obligations. The one who performs them, he's fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of al-Iman and Tawheed. And the one who is negligent with regards to them, then he is falling negligent accordingly. And his religion and his Tawheed and his deen is deficient accordingly, beginning with these affairs. The first one, al-Ikhlas. Likewise, al-Tawakkul, trust and reliance. And al-Mahabba, love, sincere love. And also al-Sabr, having patience. And al-Inaba, sincere devotion and repentance. And al-Khawf, fear. And al-Raja, and hope. These are all actions of servitude and worship that the heart, it must perform. That the heart, it must perform. Likewise, al-Sidq, truthfulness and honesty. And also al-Tasdiq, al-Jazm, to have certain faith. To have certain faith. And also niyatul ibadah, and to have the intention to perform worship. To have the intention to perform worship. These are some of the actions of the heart that are obligatory for a person to know them and to establish them. And so a believer, he will learn about these affairs. He will learn about al-ikhlas and how to perform that and how to have true sincerity and purity of faith in his heart. And likewise, trust and reliance and love, true love. Love of Allah Azza wa Jal, how to establish that and what is required, how to obtain it and how to maintain it, how to cultivate it. And the likes like this, a believer, he will have concern about this. And likewise, fear and hope and patience. Patience is an action of the heart. And these are all obligations. And likewise, truthfulness and honesty. All of these are actions of the heart. So Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's mentioning the person who does not know about these affairs, then he will be afflicted by the diseases of the heart that are opposite to that. And it will be accordingly. So therefore, these affairs that he's mentioning now, the means to deal with them is to learn the obligations of the heart. To learn the opposites of that in order to be rid of them. In order to be rid of them. So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Babu dhikri al-kibir. Babu dhikri al-kibir. The chapter mentioning arrogance. The chapter with regards to the mention of arrogance. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, now he's beginning the actual work. Everything that preceded this was an introduction up to this point. Now he's mentioning the very first major sin. Now the chapter here is with regards to the very first major sin. And before this, he didn't mention major sins in order to discuss them or to speak about them as an individual sin and to warn from them and the likes like that, or clarify the issues related to them. But everything that was previous was an introduction leading up to this, was an introduction leading up to this affair. So here we have from the major sins of the heart, the first one he begins with, Al-Kibr, Al-Kibr. You would say in the Arabic language, Al-Kibr, or also Al-Kibriya, Al-Kibriya. Both of them, they have the same meaning, and they mean arrogance. It means arrogance. And this is very suitable for more than one aspect to begin with the sin. Very suitable. And first and foremost, we've seen that how suitable it is to begin with the sins of the heart, because that is the foundation. And if the heart is upright, then the rest of the body will be upright. And if it's corrupted, then so will the rest of the body, meaning the actions, they proceed accordingly. And now he begins the actions of the heart that are impermissible and that are from the major sins. He begins them, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with al-kibr, with arrogance, with arrogance. And this is very suitable. And what has been mentioned from some of the salaf, they have said, awwalu dhanbin usiya Allahu bihi al-kibr. Awwalu dhanbin usiya Allahu bihi al-kibr. The very first sin that Allah was disobeyed with is arrogance. The very first sin that Allah was disobeyed with was arrogance. And they mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. What did he do? أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That whenever it was said to the angels, all of you prostrate before Adam, and they all prostrated except Iblis, and he is from the jinn. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. He was from the jinn and he disobeyed and turned away from the command of his Lord. But the point is here that he refused to prostrate before Adam. Why? Aba wastakbar. He refused and he was arrogant. وَكَانَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And so therefore he was from the disbelievers. He was from the disbelievers. So the people of Nadas, they mentioned that this is the very first sin that Allah, he was disobeyed with. The very first action of disobedience was the issue of al-istikbar and kibr, and having arrogance and pride, and refusing to comply to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon this arrogance. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned another beautiful benefit clarifying the suitability of beginning with the sin here. Clarifying that it's very suitable to begin with al-kibr, and also the dangers of this affair, that this is a very, very serious reality. Al-kibr is a very serious reality that a believer, he must be aware of, and he must be sincere with himself and sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to these affairs that are coming, the affairs of the heart, beginning with this one. Ibn Qayyim, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his book Al-Fawaid on page 209, Aslu al-akhlaq al-madhmuma. Aslu al-akhlaq المذمومة كلها الكبر والمهانة والدناءة. He mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, that the foundation of all of the blameworthy manners and etiquettes, all of the blameworthy and foul traits and etiquettes, all of them, the foundation of them all, where they proceed from, الكبر, الكبر, arrogance. والمهانة والدناءة. والمهانة والدناءة, being lowly and being baseless. And so he divided the sins into this type, like this. And there are sins that proceed from kibr, and there are sins that proceed from a person being lowly and being baseless. Being lowly and being baseless and being despicable. So with regards to the ones that proceed from kibr, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَالْفَخْرُ وَالْبَطَرُ وَالْأَشَرُ وَالْعُجْبُ وَالْحَسَدُ وَالْبَغْيُ وَالْخُيَلَاءُ وَالظُّلْمُ وَالْقَسْوَةُ وَالتَّجَبُّرُ وَالْإِعْرَاضُ وَإِبَاءُ قَابُولِ النَّسِيحَةِ وَالْإِسْتِئْثَارُ وَطَلَبُ الْعُلُوُ وحب الجاه والرياسة وأن يحمد بما لم يفعل وأمثال ذلك كلها ناشية من الكبر. كلها ناشية من الكبر. فخر and بطر and أشر and عجب. Being haughty and being boastful and being proud and being amazed with oneself. الحسد and having envy and jealousy for others. البغي and transgressing against people's rights. And al-khuyala, being conceited and dhulm, oppressing people, and qaswa, being harsh and rude, with tajabbur, and being boastful and harsh, and a tyrant, and acting in tyranny, with i'ram, turning away from the truth, and turning away from that which is good, and refusing to accept advice, and at istithar, and causing up, robbing up hatred and animosity, and talabul uluwi, wa hubbul jahi wa riyasa, and seeking to have high rank and status, and the love of position and praise, and the love of having a position in leadership, and loving to be praised for something that somebody did not even do, and the likes of this. All of this comes from al-kibr. All of this comes from arrogance. If this is how it started, arrogance was cultivated in his heart, was brought into his heart, and from this he became boastful and proud. From this he rejected the truth. From this he became self-amazed and amazed with his own speech and his own actions, his own deeds. From this he became jealous and envious of others. From this he transgressed the limits. From this he's conceited and he thinks he's better than others. From this kibr in his heart caused him to oppress and transgress the limits and the rights of others, caused him to be harsh and rude, caused him to act in a manner that is not befitting, and to be harsh with the people and dealing with them, and to be rude with them and to belittle them. All of this is proceeding from arrogance, to not accept the truth. Or somebody gives advice to somebody, he does not accept the advice. Why not? Why doesn't he accept the advice? All of this is coming from kibr. He wants to be the leader. He wants to have position. He wants to be praised for his deeds or even for things he did not even do. He loves to have the praise of the people. All of this is proceeding from al-kibr, from arrogance. So this is something that the author, again, whenever he is he's writing this work, he is thinking diligently. And he's arranging it in a beautiful manner. He was given great success with regards to this. So therefore, from this aspect, or we say from two aspects, it's very suitable to begin with this chapter, the chapter of kibr. And that is because first, it's been mentioned, it's the first sin that Allah was disobeyed with. And this is what Iblis caused him to turn away. And he said, Ana khayrun minhu. Ana khayrun, he said, I'm better than him. Why didn't you prostrate to the one I created with my hands? And the Iblis, he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. And he said he's better than him. Why? Because of the kibr. Because of the kibr. Likewise, the foundation of the rest of these sins that proceed from the heart, many of them, the foundation of them and all of these foul and filthy manners, they are proceeding from al-kibr. They are proceeding from al-kibr. So the author, he says, Babu dhikri al-kibri wa qawli Allahi ta'ala, in the statement of Allah the Most High, Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana mukhtalin fakhura. That verily Allah, he does not love, or Allah, he does not like those who are mukhtalin fakhura, those who are boastful and arrogant and amazed with themselves, and those who are proud and boastful. Yani mukhtalin, and mu'ajiban bi nafsihi, mutakabbiran 'ala an-nas. The mukhtal is whenever somebody, he's amazed with himself and he's boastful and he's proud and arrogant with regards to the people. He finds that he's better than them, and he finds that he has something that they don't have, and then he looks down upon them because of that. Fakhuran yani kathir al-iftikhar 'ala an-nas, that he would always be boastful and bragging and of the blessings and the goodness that he has, whether it's in knowledge or whether it's in wealth or prosperity, whether it's in affairs of the dunya or the deen. He's always bragging and being boastful with regards to this. I have this and I did that, so on and so forth, over the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not love the people who have these attributes. So this is a great threat here, that the one who has these attributes, Allah, he does not love them. If we look at this verse is in Surah An-Nisa, and it's verse number 36. This is the end of the verse. Who knows the beginning of this verse? Who's familiar with this verse? Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana mukhtalin fakhura. Alladhina yabkhaluna wa ya'muruna an-nasa bil bukhl. But before that, what's the first of it? Wa'budu Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'an wa bil walidayni ihsana wa bi dhil qurba wal yatama wal masakin wal jari dhil qurba wal jari al junubi wa sahibi bil janbi wa bin as-sabili wa ma malakat aymanukum. Now إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَلِفْ خُورًا. This verse is from those verses, the people of knowledge, they mention it has a name. And certain verses in the book of Allah have names. And the people of knowledge, they know them by like Ayatul Kursi. For everybody knows this one, the Ayat of Al Kursi. But also there are other verses that have names. What is the name of this verse? هذه ليس بجدير عليكم. اسم راجع. عبد الله. العشرة. آيات الحقوق العشرة. آيات الحقوق العشرة. The verse of the 10 rights. This verse here is known as the Surah An-Nisa. It's known as the verse of the 10 rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in this verse 10 rights. 10 rights, beginning with His right. And then after that, beginning after His right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right of the parents. The right of the parents. And then after that, the neighbors and so on and so forth. But this verse is known as the verse of the 10 rights. So Allah, He mentioned the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost, and then the rights of the people. And then the rights of the people. And then He closed like this. Verily Allah, He does not love those who are mukhtalin fukhura. Mukhtalin fukhura. And this is an indication that the people who are proud and the people who have arrogance and they're boastful, they do not give the people their rights. They do not give Allah. They'll be deficient. This sifa, this attribute in their heart will stop them from giving Allah His right. It will prohibit them from giving Allah His right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the rest of those who have a right from Allah Azza wa Jal, from the parents and to the neighbors and to the companion and those who are on a journey with Him, so on and so forth, and the orphans and those who are poor, and until the 10 of those that have been mentioned. And so this is an indication of the dangers of this affair, that the reality of al-kibr and al-ujub and being arrogant and self-amazed and boastful and the likes like this, this is something that will stop a person from giving the rights that are upon him. Giving the rights to his Lord first and foremost, and likewise to those who have rights. This is something that's going to come. He says here, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَلَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. يعني فَلَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. And such a foul and bad destination is the destination of the arrogant and proud. Of the arrogant and proud, referring to the hellfire. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about the hellfire, the jahannam. وَلِيَذُ بِلَا is the مَثْوَى. Any dar, that is the place of abode and the residence that they will reside therein. But he said that is for who? Al-mutakabbirin. Al-mutakabbirin, those people who have a takabbur, yani they have the kibr, they have the arrogance in their heart, then the hellfire, this is a place for them. It's a residence for them. And it's established for them, and they will abide there. Ayyadhin billah. So again, this is a great threat. With regards to the verse that had preceded Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about mukhtalin. يعني إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. He said رحمه الله مختالا في نفسه معجبا متكبرا. That he's مختالا, meaning in his own self. In his own self, he's amazed with his own soul, and he is arrogant with regards to his own self. فخورا على الناس. فخورا على الناس يرى أنه خير منهم. He's فخورا, يعني boastful against the people or towards the people. So in these traits here, yani inside of his own self, he thinks he's better than others. This is the issue here. He believes that he's better than others. He sees that he has traits others don't have, beautiful traits, whether they're in the deen or the dunya. He has things others don't have that are considered good, and therefore he believes he's better than them. Therefore he believes he's better than them, and without witnessing the blessing from Allah. Without completely neglecting the fact that this is a blessing from Allah, this one he is mukhtal. And fakhur, the one who is boasting and bragging over the people. Boasting and bragging over the people. So Ibn Kathir, he says, يَرَى أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمْ. He sees that he's better than them. فَهُوَ فِي نَفْسِهِ كَبِيرٌ. So he, in his own soul, he thinks that he's great, something major. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَقِيرٌ. But he is with Allah despicable and lowly. وَعِنْدَ النَّاسِ بَغِيضٌ. And with regards to the people, then he is detestful and he's detested. So this is the case. Nobody likes the one who is arrogant. It's even been mentioned that even the people who are arrogant, if they see somebody who is arrogant, they don't like that. They don't like that. If they see somebody, likewise, hasid and jealousy, these traits, and if the people who have arrogance in them, if they see somebody else being boastful and arrogant, they find it to be detestful. They find it to be detestful. Nobody likes these traits. So the one who is like this, and he thinks that he's big, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's despicable and lowly. And the people, they detest him. The people, they detest him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So these are from the diseases of the heart, rather the worst of the diseases of the heart. And al-kibr is something that is contrary to al-Islam in entirety. Al-kibr, arrogance, is something that is contrary to al-Islam entirely. Entirely. Al-Islam, it means al-istislamu lillahi azza wa jal. To surrender, to submit to Allah, wahdahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to surrender, to submit to Him with tawheed, and to comply to His commandments. And inwardly and outwardly, this is al-Islam. And al-kibr is contrary to that entirely. Al-kibr is contrary to that entirely. And this is to reject that. Yani the one who is kibr and boastful is like he is trying to stand up and to reject and to repel and to refute or to leave off. They say to buck up to the truth like that. And he doesn't want to accept it. Ya'adhu billah. But Islam is what? Submission and surrender and humbleness and humility. Submission and surrender and humbleness and humility. But a believer, he can cure his heart if one were to find these affairs. And that is with the Quran. And the religion is based upon al-ikhlas and al-istislam lillahi azza wa jal. And there are two major diseases that afflict the heart. And one of them is kibr. And another one, the author, he has a chapter likewise, and it is al-riya wa sum'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned in His book the means to cure oneself with both of these affairs. And Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he used to hear Shaykh al-Islam saying a lot about these two diseases and the cures for them. The cure for riya, wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard, and the cure for kibr and ujb, the cure for arrogance and self-amazement. He said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ تَدْفَعُ riya. The one who truly learns the understanding of this verse here, this portion of this verse here, you alone do we worship. This will push away and this will repel the one to be seen and to show off and to be heard with actions of worship. The one who fulfills the rights of that, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship. You alone do we worship. In this manner, a believer, he can reflect upon this verse and study this verse in detail and learn what it means and what it requires, and he can cure the riya that comes to his heart and the want of being seen or being heard. He will cure himself with this verse right here by pondering over and reflecting upon it. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ تَدْفَعُ الْكِبْرِيَاءَ وَالْعُجُبَ. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. This will repel pride and arrogance and self-amazement. Pride and arrogance and self-amazement. So in order to make the religion pure, a believer, he has to have إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. In this manner, he can purify and have ikhlas and sincerity. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And from you alone do we seek aid and help and assistance. In this manner, he will realize that all the good that he has achieved in the deen and the dunya is from the aid and the help of Allah. So he will not look at himself whatsoever. He will not, this is not from me, this is not because I worked so hard. Even if a person, he worked hard, he will know that that work was a success from Allah. And that Allah, He guided him to that and aided him and made it easy for him and facilitated for him that. So he will not look at himself. So this will repel the self-amazement and repel the arrogance. And he will humble himself now and remember that this is a favor and blessing from Allah. If he has good in the deen, with the Quran or with the hadith or understanding and the likes like that, or memorization, or if he has good in actions of worship and the likes like this, or if he has good in the dunya likewise, wealth and prosperity, he knows that this is all from Allah and that he obtained it by seeking the aid and assistance from Allah. So therefore it's not because of his wittiness or his cleverness or because of his piety and righteousness. Rather it's a grace and favor from Allah. Rather it's a grace and favor from Allah. So in this manner he will cure himself from these affairs. He will cure himself from these affairs. Likewise, in the Fatiha, there's a cure for another disease that is very dangerous also. And we see here the cure for two diseases. That was al-riya and al-kibr. Al-riya wal-kibr. From kibr is the ujub. And al-riya is wanting to be seen, showing off. And along with that is wanting to be heard. And kibr is arrogance. And coming along with that is self-amazement and conceitedness. This verse here, a believer, he can cure himself with that. Also, another disease that the Fatiha would cure for a believer by the permission of Allah, if he used it properly and he treated his soul and his heart with this chapter correctly, the disease of ignorance and misguidance, al-dalal wa jahl, and that is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. اهدينا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. By learning what this means and what it requires and necessitates, and then taking us oneself into account with regards to that, he can free his heart from the disease of misguidance and ignorance by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the cure for these diseases is found in the Quran, and even most specifically in the Fatiha, and it is known as Ruqya. Ruqya, and it is the means to cure the diseases of the body, and likewise the diseases of the heart and the soul, and likewise the diseases of the heart and the soul. So we see here that kibr is contrary to Islam entirely. It's contrary to Islam entirely. And what is going to be mentioned now in the next narration is clarifying that, and that it will negate the iman that is obligatory to have. Al-iman al-wajib, kibr. The smallest amount of kibr, take it down. The smallest amount of kibr will take the obligatory faith, it will decrease that and diminish it. And it is a major sin. The author, he says, and Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, annahu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulul jannata man kana fi qalbihi mithqalu dharratin min kibrin. The hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the one who has mithqal dharra is the smallest ant. Mithqal, yani waznu shay. Waznu shay. Dharra is the smallest ant. The smallest ant. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned in the dictionaries that the dharra, one dharra is a small ant. But 100 dharra, it weighs habba sha'ir. Habba sha'ir. Like one seed, one grain seed, 100 of these ants weighs that much. If you put them in the scale together. Just so that you can see what is intended here. And if we had 100 of these dharra, these small ants, and we put them in this scale compared to one seed of grain, they weigh the same. They weigh the same. How big is a seed? Very small. Very light. Very little. So it's not 100 of them, but rather one of mithqal dharra. One dharra. One dharra. And so this is something, again, that's very dangerous. The one who has the small ant's weight of kibr, of arrogance in his heart, he will not enter Jannah. He will not enter Jannah. At this time, فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ A man, he said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ الْكِبْرُ بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ He said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمُ He said, at this time, a man, he stood up and he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily a man, an individual, he likes that he had, that his thobe is nice and that his shoes are nice. He likes for his thobe to be nice and his shoes to be nice. And he heard this narration and he's afraid for his soul. And because a person, he has this in his heart, that he likes for his garments to be nice and his shoes and the likes of this to be nice. So he's thinking that this is from that kibr that could stop him from entering paradise. He just heard this narration. So he's checking with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And is this what is intended here? Is this what is going to prohibit a person from entering paradise? He said, but verily a person, he likes for his thobe to be nice and for his shoes to be nice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily Allah, he is the most beautiful and he loves beauty. And he loves beauty. And if Allah blesses a person with wealth and he gives him bounties and blessings from prosperity, then Allah, he loves to see that bounty on a person. And a believer, he will display that. And in the limits and of the legislation and remembering likewise, it's a blessing from Allah. This is good for a believer to have wealth and prosperity and then to show that outwardly with a nice home or a nice vehicle or nice clothing on himself and his family and those under his care. And without arrogance and without pride, displaying the bounty and blessing of Allah, this is good. Remembering the favor of Allah and showing thanks, this is good. In Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Verily Allah, he's the most beautiful and he loves beauty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified now, he says, Al-kibru bataru al-haq. Arrogance, it is to refuse the truth. It is to refuse and to reject the truth. Wa ghamtu an-nas, and to belittle and to despise the people. To belittle and to despise and to look down upon the people. And this narration is collected by Al-Imam Muslim. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's giving us the definition of the kibr. The kibr, that the person who has the smallest ants, the weight of the smallest ants amount and in his heart that will stop him from entering paradise. This right here is an indication that it's a major sin, because this person is threatened that he will not enter paradise. He's threatened that he will not enter paradise. There are some wordings of this same narration also in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this: لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر ويدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة خردل من الإيمان. And no one will enter the Jannah that has the smallest amount of arrogance in his heart, and anyone who has the mustard seed weight of iman will enter paradise. So the one who has kibr, the smallest amount, he will not enter Jannah. But the one who likewise, on the other hand, who has the smallest amount of iman, he will enter Jannah. He would enter Jannah. So what is intended here? That if he's held accountable for this kibr, if he meets Allah with this kibr in his heart, even if it's that small amount, he meets Allah with that amount of kibr in his heart, he will not enter paradise. Unless Allah pardons him and removes that from him. Or unless he is punished in the hellfire until that is removed from his heart. Until that kibr is removed from his heart. So this person, he's threatened and he's under the will of Allah. And that is the meaning. So long as he had the smallest amount of iman in his heart, then he will enter paradise. He's promised to enter paradise. But he's not promised to enter in the beginning with safety and security and honor. Rather, he is threatened with the punishment of the fire. So the one who has that and he meets Allah with that, he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like with the rest of the sins, with the rest of the major sins. If Allah will forgive him and pardon him and entering him in with her first and foremost with his grace and mercy, and if Allah wills, he'll punish him and he'll purify him from his sins. And if that is the case, then his heart will be purified from that, and then he will enter paradise. As for having that in his heart, he won't enter paradise with that. He will not enter paradise with that in his heart. We understand the issue now? So this is an indication again that it's a major sin. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this portion here, that he will not enter the Jannah like this, and that al-kibr, it is bataru al-haq wa ghamtu al-nas. Al-kibr, this is kibr, this is arrogance. What is arrogance? Bataru al-haq, the people of knowledge say jahdu al-haq wa radduhu ala qa'ilihi, to refuse and to reject the truth. Somebody who bring the truth, they give it back to him. He don't want it. He will not accept it or take it from him, no matter who it is. This is it. Whether if it's coming from a big one or a small one, or someone who is lesser, from an enemy or a friend, that he, or any case, he would refuse the truth. The truth came to him, he did not accept it. And this is very dangerous. This is very dangerous, because Allah Azza wa Jal is al-haq. Allah, he is the truth. And al-haq is the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the truth, it comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. So whoever is carrying the truth and he brings this to somebody, nobody, no matter who it is who brings it, then he's bringing the truth, and the truth is from Allah. So therefore, if he refuted the truth and did not accept it, then he's refuting that. And he's not accepting that from Allah. Allah, he's the one who revealed the truth. And Allah, he is the truth. So rejecting the truth, if he rejected it from the person, in reality, he's rejecting it from Allah. The truth is from Allah Azza wa Jal. The truth is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So rejecting the truth, and maybe he will say, oh, he's younger than me. Or maybe he was, oh, he's my student. Or maybe he will say, oh, he's the enemy. He's not even Muslim, or whatever. But he brought the haqq in this particular situation. If he rejected, in reality, he's throwing that back and rejecting it from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something that must be known. So rejecting the truth is very dangerous. And this is the reality of al-kibr. Al-kibr, to reject the truth and to not accept it. Likewise, al-kibr, not only that, rejecting the truth, this is one aspect. Another aspect of kibr and arrogance, غَمْطُ النَّاسِ غَمْطُ النَّاسِ يعني احتكار الناس وإزدراءُ الناس, to belittle the people and to find them to be nothing, and to find them to belittle and to be despicable, to think that a person is greater than them, and to despise them and the likes like this. This is kibr. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, that al-kibr in every aspect, in every form, in every amount, it is contrary to al-iman. Al-iman al-wajib in entirety. And whoever has the smallest amount of kibr, this amount here, mithqal dharra min kibrin, he has the ant's weight, the smallest ant's weight of pride or arrogance, this will cause him to reject the truth that it's an obligation for him to accept. It's obligation for him to accept. If he has kibr, either he's going to reject the truth entirely, which is disbelief, like Iblis, waliyadu billah, or there's going to be some aspects of the truth that he will not accept, and he will not comply to it, and he will not abide by it, he will reject it. And the reason for that is the kibr. So somebody who has kibr in his heart, which is jahdul haq, waradul haq, wa batalul haq, that means that there is some truth that he will not accept. There is some truth coming from Allah or His Messenger, and the likes, the fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not fulfill that. He will not fulfill that. What stopped him from fulfilling that? The kibr in his heart. The kibr in his heart. Likewise, kibr is ghamtun nas, to belittle the people, to look down upon them and to despise them. The one who looks down upon the people and he despises them, he oppresses them, and he transgresses their rights and their limits. He belittles them and he oppresses them and he transgresses their rights and their limits. So the person who does not fulfill the rights that are upon him, the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the truth, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one who transgresses the limits of the people and he violates their rights and he belittles them, he doesn't have the right to enter paradise. Rather, he has the threat of the fire. He has the threat of the fire. This is the case here. This is how kibr will stop a person from entering the paradise. We understand that? And how will the kibr stop a person from entering the paradise? Because there will be some truth coming to him, he will not accept it. There will be some a part of the sunnah, he will not accept it. He will not comply to it. Maybe he'll believe that it's true, but he will not comply to it. Why would he not lift his pants above his ankles? Because of kibr in his heart. Why would he not grow his beard? Because of kibr in his heart. And he believes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has it, but there's something that causing him to reject that, causing him to not comply to that and to refuse that. That he will not give the poor their rights, or he will not be kind to the people and give them their rights and the likes like this, or he will belittle the people. What is causing him to do that? Kibr. The one who does these actions right here, he is threatened with the fire. The one who does not fulfill the rights that are obligatory upon him, the rights of Allah and then the rights of the people, the one who despises the people and belittles them, then he's threatened with the fire. Then he's threatened with the fire. So in this manner, the kibr, it carries a person to perform these foul actions. It carries a person to perform these foul actions. The author, he says, Rahimahullah ta'ala rawa al-Bukhari an harithat ibn wahbin radiyallahu anhu anna rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala ألا أخبركم بأهل النار؟ ألا أخبركم بأهل النار؟ كل عتل جواد مستكبر. It has been narrated, or it's been collected, the author, he says, collected by Imam Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى from the Haditha Haritha Ibn Wahb رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, shall I not inform you of the people of the hellfire? Shall I not inform you of the people of the hellfire? And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking a question, and this is from the manners of teaching, and this is also from the type of usloob that the people call tashweeq. He'll present an issue, and then those who are listening there can't wait for the answer. Now the person who hears this, and shall I not inform you of the people of the hellfire, and who they are, what are their traits, what are their characteristics? He's not going to mention names sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? He's going to mention traits and characteristics. So at this time, the one who is hearing this, the companions, radiallahu anhum, they're waiting, of course. Then and they're very attentive, ready to listen to this knowledge and benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Kullu utulin jawalin mustakbir." Kullu utulin jawalin mustakbir. And he mentioned here the author. He says, "Al utul al ghalid al jafi, al ghalid al jafi." The utul, he is the one who is harsh and rude. Harsh and rude, and he's harsh and rude in his dealings with the people. When he deals with them, he's harsh and he's rude with them, and he's not nice, and it's not easy to deal with him. And he'll raise his voice over them and deal with them harshly in a rude manner. And this is the person that's called, that considered utul, like this. And this is from the attributes of the people of the fire. With jawalf, and the author, he says, al jawalf qila al mukhtar al dakhm wa qila al qasir al batin. And he said that al-jawal, it is the one who is somebody who's big and boastful and arrogant and conceited. And it's been mentioned likewise that he is somebody who is short and has a large stomach. And there's been many interpretations of this word here. from them al-manu' al-jamu' the one who gathers lots of wealth and property and food and the likes like this, and his main concern is the dunya, and then he's stingy with it likewise, and he's stingy with it likewise. And he, but wallahu alam, the intent here that he jawaled is that he's arrogant and boastful and proud, and his concern is the dunya and obtaining the dunya and bragging and being boastful with that, and bragging and being boastful with that. And then he says, وَبَطْرُ الْحَقْ رَدُّهُ إِذَا أَتَاكَ. بَطْرُ الْحَقْ, it means to refute and to reject the truth when it comes to you. وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ احْتِكَارُهُمْ وَازْدِرَاؤُهُمْ. And to make غَمْط of the nas, of the people, this means to belittle them and to despise them, and to belittle them and to despise them. So this is again a major sin. And these are from the characteristics and the traits of the people of the hellfire. And the people of knowledge, they mention likewise that any being rude and being harsh and treating the people, this also proceeds from arrogance and raising the voice over others. And somebody will come and ask for something, and they'll yell at them back, or they'll be harsh or rude to them. All of these are signs. That's a type of belittlement. And that's a type of belittlement and finding fault with them. And a person who will raise up and above them and the likes like that, and talk to them harshly and rudely like they're insignificant. This is all from kibr. This is all signs of kibr. Waliyadu billah. A believer, he has to strive to purify his self from this. And from every aspect, that he would not reject the truth whatsoever, no matter where it came from. And that he would also not belittle the people. And having this foul manners and this arrogance and pride and rejecting the truth and the likes, and he, with regards to the people, is different. And he, first and foremost, with regards to Allah, and he to refuse and to reject the truth coming from Allah, or to refuse to surrender and to submit to the command of Allah, this is a major sin. And it could be disbelief, and it's from the means that lead to disbelief. And likewise, rejecting the something coming from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if he rejected it entirely and turned away from it, and the likes like this, this could be disbelief or lead to disbelief. And in any case, it's a major sin to reject and to refuse to comply to the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, after that, with the rights coming in line as well, and to refuse to comply to the command of the parents because of arrogance. The parents, they will call the child to do something or require the child to do something, and he will disobey. This is because of arrogance in the heart. This is, he will refuse to comply to that and give the parent the right. This is because of the arrogance in the heart. So this is something that's very dangerous. And likewise, the rights of the people after that. A person who refuses to give others their rights, what causes him to refuse to do that? Why does he reject that right from them? No matter what he says. What is it? Al-kibru batrul haqq. Batrul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Batrul haqq. He will not give the truth. He will refuse the truth. And he from the truth and to belittle the people. He will not give the people their rights and truth. And so what is carrying him to do that is his kibr. And the one who even has the smallest ant weight in his heart, he will not enter paradise. Waliyadu billah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.